I do know that Scripture tells us there are a few general things that we are to exercise as we come to this table. My OCD, that needs to move just a little bit. That was bothering somebody else, wasn't it? Is it right? Yeah, I think it's about right. Many times that's what we think about when we come to the table, isn't it? You know, I originally put that on upside down so it says S-H-I. Does anybody know what IHS is supposed to mean?
In his service.
Oh, in his service. What would it say if it was S-H-I? We don't want to go there. Okay. So that one time when I put it upside down and left it, there was all kinds of bad thoughts that were taking place while we were trying to have communion. Whoa. What's that?
It would be S-Y.
Oh. What I'm doing is I'm trying to get us to understand that we come to this table and we think different thoughts, but what are we supposed to think about? And why are we supposed to think about it? You see, when we come to this table, Scripture tells us we are to do it in remembrance of me, right? Oh, no, Jesus said in remembrance of me. It's not about me, it's about him, right?
That's right.
Ah, we'll get that straight. So we are to remember what? Pardon me? Christ. What he did for us? So what did he do for me, man?
He saved my soul and set me free.
I heard that in a song. He did that for me too?
Yeah.
Oh. The opportunity to give all humanity eternal. You see, he wishes none to perish, right? And so this is our ticket to heaven. In part. Okay, maybe that's a little bit casual. But many people look at it that way, right?
Yeah.
Is that all it means? We're to remember what about Jesus? That he paid the ultimate price, but that...
His body was broken for us.
That is what?
His body was broken.
His body was broken for us. That has to do with a judgment on humanity that God says, if you are in sin, you will have to suffer and die and go to hell. But he suffered and died in my place. As we remember Jesus, what are some of the other things that we ought to remember when we come to the table?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness, yeah. We are truly forgiven in Christ because of his sacrifice. How many here feel forgiven? I hope everyone does. But, you know, not everyone, even believers, don't feel forgiven. Oh, God can't forgive me, can he? I've done... Yeah, God can forgive. So we remember that. What else are we supposed to do when we come to the table? We are to give testimony, right? We are to remember, we are to give testimony. What testimony are we giving at the table?
I belong to you.
I belong to you, yeah. If we receive these elements, we are giving a public testimony to each one who are here that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and to the best of my ability, I am trying to follow him in all his ways. So when we come to this table, we're supposed to think of what is our testimony. Has my testimony been good this week? Is it going to be good today? The game when we might be watching that, or tomorrow when we're following somebody going too slow. So I know, we would never blame you for that, Carl. Never blame you.
Hey, Ryan. Oh, hang on. Hey, slow down.
Oh. All right, we won't go there. But testify. We are here at this table to be able to testify to what God has done as we remember what he truly did for you and me. And testify, I'm a believer. I am receiving these elements because I have been saved because of what Jesus did. So what else are we to think about? Jesus, while he was at that Last Supper, he gave to T word. Thanks, yes. We come to the table here and we say, thank you, Jesus. I am so privileged, man. So the three main categories that we have is remembrance, testimony, and thanksgiving. I want to add one more. I believe that Jesus gave us this because didn't he say, you keep this up until I return, right?
That's right.
Why did he do that? Because this is to give us confidence. I don't know about you, but when I am out there doing stuff all by myself, have you ever come to a point where, am I doing this right? Is this really true? Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. And so we come back to the table, and that's why we try to observe it on a regular basis. Ours is the first Sunday of every month. That it's true. I have confidence. And Jesus keeps speaking to us through the elements and through the process of communion to give us confidence. And the reason why I'm going to John chapter 20 is there's Thomas the Didymus, right? Now, that stands for what? Oh, you Greek twin. You ought to have known that, Pastor Brett. You've got twin. Evie is not one, but Lexi and Gwendolyn are Didymus. They're twins. And so Thomas is said to be one of a twin. But anyway, if you consider what I'm saying, that Jesus gives us this table, communion is for our confidence. He gives it to us to observe over and over again to keep our confidence where it ought to be. Think about Thomas and how Jesus came time after time. Thomas was who? One of the disciples, one of the 12 disciples, right? Thomas was there when Jesus was doing all these miracles. Thomas was directly under the ministry of Jesus. How many messages did he hear from Jesus himself? How many times has he been in the presence of Jesus? Oh, about 3 years worth, right? And yet, he needed a reminder. And a beautiful thing about this passage is Jesus keeps coming back to remind us so that he will have the confidence. And I believe that's what Jesus wants us to know today. He wants to remind us and give us the confidence to live. Because this is true. This is true. So what do we have here? In John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24, it says this. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, twin, was not with them when Jesus came. And if you look back just a little bit into previous verses, you'll find that Jesus had already arrived at that upper room and said hello to the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. The disciples were gathered, why? Because Mary and the other women came back, and then John and Peter came back and says, wait, we've been to the tomb. He is not there. He is risen. Just like he said. And so the disciples are scratching their head. Yeah, we were with him 3 years. We saw this. We heard him say this. Is it true? I believe the disciples at this point in time were reeling. They had a lack of confidence. They had lost their confidence. And so Jesus came to them. And then Thomas was missing, so Jesus came back again. Isn't that just like our Lord? Every time we have an opportunity to celebrate or be a part of communion, it should lift our confidence. It's Jesus talking to us, Jesus showing us by our remembrance, by our testimony, and by our thanksgiving. He's going to build us up if we receive it properly. And so Jesus comes to this upper room the first time, and Thomas is not there. And then Thomas is probably told, well, Jesus came, and he goes, so? I didn't see him. You show me the nail prints, and let me put my fist up his side where they probably thrust that spear, and then maybe I will. He had already been with Jesus 3 years listening to him. He had already heard everything about him. And in fact, I think Jesus wanted him to know once again the truth of Mark chapter 10, verse 45, when Jesus says, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to lay my life down for many. That's my purpose. Thomas had lost his confidence. Thomas had lost everything because Thomas was not there at the crucifixion. Thomas was not in that courtyard of the high priest when Jesus was on trial. Thomas was there in the garden before they took Jesus away, but then he missed a big segment that proved the truth of Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And so Thomas had lost confidence. And then he moved to Missouri and said, show me, right? All right. Verse 25. The other disciples, therefore, were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands and the imprint of the nails and put my finger in the place of the nail and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. So next Sunday, Jesus stops by and they're all there. And Jesus says, come here, Thomas. I want to build your confidence. I want you to understand more fully, more completely. And I believe that verse in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, or the words of our Lord, came ringing clear into his mind. Oh, that's right. He told us about that more than once. I had forgotten, and because I had forgotten, I have lost my confidence. Verse 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and says, peace be with you. I don't know, somebody walks through that door and says, peace be with me. I might have my, okay. Then he said to Thomas, reach here your fingers and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it inside my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing. And then the lights went on, because Jesus raised his confidence once again. I think the gears began to turn, and it began to make sense to him once again. Because of this declaration, Thomas answered and says, my Lord, my God. It was no longer Rabbi. It was the deity, the Christ, the Messiah. Things change because at the table, we can gain that confidence to no longer disbelieve or be riddled with unbelief. But Jesus wants us to come to this table with confidence because he has revealed all things to us. He will come to us again and again to try to get us to understand the truth. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are the ones who do not see and yet believed. I think he's referring to us today in the 21st century. Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. You hear the confidence? The Son of God? And that believing you may live life in his name. Amen? I was reminded how much Jesus has done for me. I was reminded how much he continues to reveal himself and to draw men unto himself. I am reminded when I come to this table that this isn't mine alone, although it is mine because I'm a child of God, but this is for all humanity to enjoy and to gain the confidence we need to live, not just survive, but to thrive and to live in victory because of what he did, we have his spirit within us. Do you realize? And people don't understand spiritual warfare, and they don't understand the presence and the power of God by his Holy Spirit. But this is to remind us so that we will have confidence in living. He tells us more than once that I go, but I leave you my spirit. And you know that even more things than I did, you will be able to do. And believe me, with our technology today, we are doing more and more for Christ than it's ever been done. The last statistic I think I just shared with you last week is the fact that there are more born-again believers alive in this day today than has ever lived in the entire history of humanity. That's pretty great. What do you think? And it's in part because of the resources that God has allowed to give us. And more importantly, it's because of his Spirit moving in a mighty way. And this table is here to give us confidence to go out and do also likewise. And so we find that Jesus came with indisputable evidence. He came and he, with incredible, impossible odds, fulfilled all of prophecy, the 400 plus in the Old Testament alone. Every evidence, if you will open your eyes and look, points to Jesus, talks about Jesus, verifies Jesus. And if Jesus is who we are, why aren't we living in victory? Why aren't we living in confidence? Why aren't we going forth with the presence and the power of God? This table should represent for us that type of resource so that we can be those type of people. Oh, man, he has done so much. He came in bodily form. He was witnessed at an execution. And you know, there were over 700 people that saw him in his glorified form after his resurrection. And you know, not only the Bible, but other secular writers have written about that. The truth of this table runs a whole lot deeper than bread and cup. And I know some are coming. Last time I was here, the bread was stale and my glass was only 2/3 full and I didn't get enough to wash it down and I am disappointed. It better not happen this week. As if those elements were what it's all about. Yeah, I'm going to get a lot of confidence with that meager pittance of a thing you give to me. I should have a whole loaf, yeah, and a jug. At least I'll drink the jug and then I'll have confidence, right? Oh, that's the wrong jug. Children, talk to your parents about that, and they'll explain it, okay? But he comes with evidence, indisputable. He comes more than once. Once again, he was with them in the garden. But more importantly, he's been all through history. He was there with Abraham. He had a pre-incarnate visit with Abraham. He had a pre-incarnate visit with Jacob. He had pre-incarnate visits with many, many people in the Old Testament. There's evidence that just flows through all the Scripture. This is all about God and the Messiah, Jesus. And he comes and he comes and he comes again so that we will live in confidence. I do read in Scripture that in many cases, and I don't know when this happens, but God says, enough is enough. I have given you so much. I have revealed myself to you so many times. I have written so much. You should have confidence undeniable in living your life. There is no excuse. There is none. God has provided all things. I know you're thinking, but what about that native back in the corner of Africa? Well, I believe that God has provided something somewhere because he says, my desire is that none shall perish. And if that's his desire, you better believe that somehow, somewhere, everybody's had an opportunity because of some of the other attributes of God. But he comes so that we will know. And if we deny him long enough, there's judgment. You see it as he works with the nation of Israel. We see him as he deals with individuals. Enough is enough. What happened to King Saul? All of a sudden, King Saul wouldn't turn around and do what's right, and says the Spirit of God left him, and he was a mess until he died tragically. That's what happens when you reject and lose the confidence that the table wants to give you. He comes more than once, And he comes so that we will make the right choice. As I wrap this part up and the servers can station themselves and get ready to serve. Thomas had a choice to continue his disbelief, to continue his path of disbelief. And there are many in churches today that have not fully embraced the full truth of what communion is all about. And therefore, they are living in a miserable, lifeless life. But then you have people like Thomas, who says, "Oh Lord, my God, I am so wrong and you are so right." And Thomas got off his doubtful horse, if you want to call it that, and he rode off to India and he saved hundreds and probably thousands of people by bringing them the gospel of Jesus Christ. He confronted the risen Savior and the truth of his resurrection, and Thomas became an icon of the faith. This is to bring us confidence so that we can become an icon of the faith here in Mahaffey. So when you come to this table, will you remember what he has done and what he is doing and what Jesus is all about? Will you commit yourself to the right testimony of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you give him thanks? And then will you leave here in confidence because you know that you know that you know? If you leave here without confidence, it's because you are in fear and doubt. And this table was meant to revive all of us and to renew our resolve as people of the King. Let's receive communion, and may our confidence be built.